Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baron's Crypt. This is our special edition number two we've actually doing here. Now, the reason for this, of course, is, basically, we've had a lot of horror films released over the course of the year, have not had the time and the time to really discuss these movies. We're estimating we have about 80 movies that have not been discussed to you, the loyal, dedicated horror fans of the genre. Now, I could be, an ass, and I could just do a really quick, read the names of the films that were released and say, okay, I mentioned them all, and then walk away. That's not fair to the filmmakers. It's not fair to the writers, the directors, the stars of these films. It's not fair to anybody. So we won't be doing that. Instead, we're going to be discussing movies. We're going to go over a list. Next week, November 1st, I guess that is, yes, November 1st, there won't be a special edition, but after that, the Baron's Crypt special editions on Sunday nights will go into full blast for the rest of the year. Our goal is to get all the movies out and discussed on the air for you, the horror fans. And if that means I got to start pulling some Saturdays there eventually, then that's what I'll have to do. Really quick couple things before we begin. There's a benefit event for a friend of mine. She was badly injured in a motor accident. Seems a damn drunk driver. These are the next group of people I hate. You're drunk, you get into a car, you speed down the road, you cross lanes, and you have a head-on collision with somebody else. You're drunk, you don't get injured. The person on the other side is badly injured. There's a benefit in the Brio restaurant in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, running from 4 to 10 p.m. on Monday night, obviously tomorrow night, the 26th of October. Please, if you can, and you're in the South Jersey area, please attend this event. I know a GoFundMe site's going to be set up soon. When that happens, I'll get that information out. Really special person. She even has a special needs child. So this is a great problem, if you would. All the money collected from the bar to dessert, from everything, is being donated to her. I think it's a really great thing that the Brio restaurant is doing, and I just want people to go out. I mean, I'm going out there tomorrow night, and I'm going to basically go out with a couple other people, and we're literally going to have drinks, appetizer, soup, salads, meal, and dessert, and probably a coffee afterwards. I mean, it's going to be like an $80 bill from us alone. I'm not saying you have to do that, but, take somebody out if you're in the area to do that. All right. Number two, I want to thank everybody for all the really cool retweets we've gotten here. The Facebook messages have been fantastic about the Screaming Horror Show we did last night. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, you can always go to the Baron's Crypt, find the link, either click on it or copy and paste it in your browser, and you can listen to the show. It was really great, 30 tracks. Most of it was psychobilly or horror rock, horror punk. One or two country tunes were in there, and the music all was either music in horror movies or related to the horror and / Halloween, themed. So you have that too. All right. Let's begin the show tonight. I don't know how many films we're going to go through. We'll go through so many. I also have some music to play later on if I need to take a break or somebody comes in, because like I said, I have a friend who's in an ICU, and I might get a report. So I may have to take a small break. All right, first film we're going to discuss is Julia. It comes from Archstone Distribution. I have contacted Archstone Distribution, so if I get a copy of the film or a screener to review it. This is a revenge thriller. A rape victim undergoes an unorthodox form of therapy that leads to her seeking a violent retribution on the men who harmed her. Okay, so what do we have here? We have a film that's similar to I Spit in Your Grave. Okay, we've seen this kind of theme come around. I think also Miss 45 had that kind of theme too. When done right, it's an excellent aspect. When done wrong, it looks lousy. The artwork for this particular film that I saw looks interesting. The director is Matthew A. Brown. It stars, now once again, same rules apply as the Baron's Crypt Show on Friday nights. I'm going to butcher, slaughter, slash, destroy people's last names, sometimes their first. But you'll just have to deal with it. Okay, so it stars Ashley C. Williams, Tonya Tazi, Jack Noseworthy, Carrie Woodworth, and Ryan Cooper. Oh, and Brad Code. It's K-O-E-D. All right, so if you're interested in that, please do check it out. Next, then, is The Last Witch Hunter, excuse me, from Summit. Now, let me tell you about the film. I got a little trivia also to give you out in this particular movie. The witch hunter returns from the dead to take revenge on the immortal witch hunter, which is played by Vin Diesel, who killed her centuries earlier. All right. First of all, this is an interesting movie, to say the least. I think it just came out, and we're probably not used to seeing Vin Diesel in these type of movies. However, if you do remember, he was in Pitch Black, so he does have the background to do these darker films. Comes out from Summit. Now, I don't know if that's Summit Entertainment. I just know it's as Summit. We'll have to find out more information at another time. The director is Breck, Eisner. I think that's how it's pronounced. What's interesting for him, he returns to the horror film circuit here. The last one he did was in 2010, and that was a remake film of The Crazies. Next, though, we have it starring Vin Diesel, as I stated, Rose Leslie, Elijah Wood, and Eagle Branch. I probably butchered that badly. Inlang Bridge. I took a shot, Julia. Got it right? Great. If I didn't, oh well. Rihanna Owen, Sloan Coombs, Dawn Oliveri, and let's see here, Olaf Daria Ofsson. It is an Iceland name. I just took my best shot at it. Also in this is Michael Caine. Oh, we all remember Michael Caine from the horrendous Jaws, the revenge movie. Although this man has gone on to win two Oscars in his career. Now, just to pure note this, and I like to do this always, he is a British veteran of the Korean War who did see combat. His most recent horror film, aside from this, was Stonehurst Asylum in 2014. And his first horror film that came out in 1978 was The Swarm. I don't know if some of you remember that. That's when we have the bees attacking all over the place and killing people. And the military decides, hey, great way to fight bees. Send out guys in flame throwers and let them try to burn the bees. Yeah, this makes a lot of sense. And, it was that kind of movie where it made even more sense. So just a really little interesting thing there. This is the part that's probably going to get a lot of you. There is The Last Witch Hunter 2 is already in development. Yes, I know. A little shocked there. So was I when I read that. Now, here's a really neat thing. This film, particularly the screenplay, was actually on a 2010, what they call a blacklist. Now, a lot of film buffs out there will go, Blacklist is something that sounds very eerily to McCarthyism of the 1950s. No, these were projects that weren't developed, maybe picked up by a production company, but never turned around. And since then, this film has been turned around. You can look up, say, a 2010 Blacklist, and you'll actually find all the years on there for all kinds of projects. Some that you'll actually see have been attached to other studios, so you can see different projects and how they're developing through. Next up, we have a 12-movie horror pack from Alchemy. Now, I don't know who Alchemy is. I looked it up. I tried every possible combination, and all I did was run into a brick wall every time, which is very rare for me. Now, I could tell you that this film includes 12 movies and just walk on by. But no, I'm sorry. The Baron likes to get in detail. I'm going to tell you about all 12 movies. Why? That way you get to decide whether it's worth your money to pick this up or not. Personally, I go for a lot of these, especially if you're not maybe going to have the interest to go out and buy each individual disc, unless you're looking to complete some sort of set. This one, like I said, is 12 movies, and we'll start off. We have Day of the Dead from 2008. When a small Colorado town is overrun by the flesh-hungry dead, a small group of survivors try to escape in a last-ditch effort to stay alive. Director? Well, that's Steve Miner. Stars, oh boy, here we go. Nick Cannon, Michael Welch, Anna Lynn McCord, Stark Sands, Matt Rippey, Pat Kilbane, Krista Campbell, Vig Rames, and Mena Suvari. I took a shot. So that's the first film. Okay, swallow that down, right? Now, we all remember Day of the Dead that came out. The original was in 1985. Actually, it was just on AMC this past weekend, so I already saw that and enjoyed it again. Next, though, is Dead Time Stories, Volume 1, an anthology of three horror stories presented by George, obviously, George Romero, in Quota, a pair of young lovers drive to Lover's Leap, only to be attacked by a mysterious creature. In Wet, a lonely man finds an empty box on the beach, opens it, and disastrous results ensue. And lastly, in the Valley of the Shadow, a woman searches for her missing husband in the jungles of South America, only to find herself to be in great danger. Okay, those are the three movies. And that's about all I can tell you about that. I remember seeing this a while back. Quite a while back. Can't give you much more about this. If you like anthology films, you'll enjoy this. If you don't, you won't. I mean, it's just that simple. So, the directors of this, you have three of them. Michael Fisher, Jeff Monahan, and Tom Savini. Stars, Tom Gregg, Jason Holden, Paul Paul, I'm not even going to try your last name, man. It's just too damn long, and we don't have all that kind of time. And we have Nick Mancuso, Amy Marlis, and, of course, George is in this one also. Obviously, he's the host. Then we have Dead Time Stories, Volume 2. Okay, we got another anthology, obviously, the tale of two hikers trapped in a cave-in. We got the jilted teen lover turns bad, and a man is murderously desperate to help his ailing wife. Wow, sounds interesting. Again, who do we have? We have Michael Fishen, Jeff Monahan, Matt Welch is the director. We star Amy Lynn Best. Now everybody knows who she is. We don't need to give any more information on that. We have Kristen Borrega, Leland Bronson, and Eric. I'm going to say Eric. I could have got that one wrong, but I think it's Eric Menoda. So definitely check this out, again, if you're into anthology. Third or fourth film now, and I think it's the fourth film. Asylum of the Dead. An interesting film came out in 2012. For decades, Pennhurst Psychiatric Hospital has been haunted by turbulent supernatural forces. When a television crew embarks on a mission to capture this paranormal activity, they discover something much more complex and very unexpected. Gee, what could it be? Okay, so obviously we're looking at probably a, because I didn't see this film, we're looking probably at like a found footage film maybe. I hope not. I hope it's more done in the narrative. That would be pretty cool. The director is Michael Rooker. He also acts in this film. Now, come on, you guys know who he is. He's had an incredible career. We're talking Henry, the Portrait of a Serial Killer. He also had a really great role, excuse me, in Mississippi is Burning. Just did such a wonderful job in that. And, of course, he's been in the Walking Dead series. Not that long in the series, but he was in the series. And for understand, he was kind of creepy on set. And I like that. So who else is in this film? Well, we got Haley Duff, Jimmy Lembo, Craig Newman, Ryan Windisch, I guess that's how you pronounce it, J. LaRose, Amanda Dunn, Michael Kitty, and Beverly Mitchell, who maybe some of you don't recognize the name, but that is Lucy Campbell from Seven Heaven. I actually had to look that up. I didn't really know who she was. So I'm sorry to Beverly. But, hey, it's nice to know. I think this may be the second film that I mentioned to you this weekend. If you caught the Friday Night Show, I think she was in one of them. So many right now that I cannot recall which one it was exactly. The Occupants was the next film. Lucy, hey, coincidental, I hope, has a new husband, a new home, a new baby, but all ghosts won't let her be. She tries to help the tortured souls break free from their torment and move on. Soon finds these ghosts really don't want her help. Well, I guess when somebody gets used to a certain lifestyle, they don't want to move on, and they'd rather you shoo away. So, the director is Todd Alcott, and it stars Kristen Ariza, Ashanti Brown, Macy Cuthbert, Mary Pat Farrell, Gail Golden, Toby Huss, Catherine Kamhai, and Elizabeth Karsik. And that Karsik is actually spelled K-R-A-Sick. Pretty interesting name. Then we have Parts Per Billion, came out in 2014. In the midst of a man-made biological disaster, a terrible fate, three couples try to find a meaning in their lives. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. So, who's the director? Brian, I'll just spell it. H-O-R-I-U-C-H-I. That's the best I can do. It stars Gina Rowlands, Rosario Dawson, Josh Hartnett, Teresa Palmer, Alex Bledded, Hill Harper, Stephen Solon. So who else can I pick out here? Teresa Palmer, if I didn't mention her. Oh, and Frank, oh boy, Langilli. Someone's whispering that over to me. I thank you for that. It was very nice. If we got it right, good. If not, oh well, you just joined the pack of saying people's names on the show. All right, next, though, is Dead Within, for 2014 film. 6 months after the outbreak, a man and a woman have survived, isolating themselves in a remote cabin. Starved for resources, they must confront the horrors that threaten them from the outside and from within. Director Ben Wagner. It stars, let's see here, J. Period, Claude Deering, Rick Federman, Amy Kale Peterson, and Dean Chekva, I guess, C-H-E-K-V-A-L-A. You can find more about the film actually by going to deadwithin.com. The site does still work, so definitely check it out. Next, though, is A Deadline, a screenwriter who travels to an abandoned house to finish a script on time. but a series of strange events lead her to a psychological breakdown. Okay, so we got this kind of plot played out a few times. You may have seen it in Below Zero. That film had Michael Berryman in it. It's also been done, obviously, Secret Window with Johnny Depp. So it's not something unusual. The beginning of that, if you think about it, is a little like Misery with James Caan and Kathy Bates. I mean, he's at a kind of an isolated cabin. He writes his book, drives down the road, has a car accident, finds Kathy, who's not that nice to people messing with her fantasy life of books and such. And Khan decides to have a bit of a trouble. Now, let's just put it that way. Sweet little lady. Oh well. Anyway, for Deadline, we have the director, Sean McConville. And it stars Brittany Murphy, who passed away in 2009. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Thora Birch, Tammy Blanchard, and Mark Blucas. B-L-U-C-A-S. Now, the reason I say I'm going to talk a little bit more about this Murphy person is because I was reading about it, and her death is kind of creepy. Okay, so let's get into that for a moment. We got the time. Why not? It's an interesting tidbit. Now, Brittany Murphy died of an untimely death. The LAPD and the Los Angeles County Coroner closed the case within 1 hour of attributing her death to pneumonia anemia. I know I'm mispronouncing this badly. It's A-N-E-M-I-A. Anyway, they closed the case with 1 hour. They found the body, and then they closed the case with 1 hour. That's kind of weird. Now, 5 months after she dies, her husband, Simon Monjak, is found dead in the same house that he shared with Brittany. Okay. Everyone getting that kind of Twilight Zone kind of thing going now? Now, they stated, the same coroner and the same police and the same people stated that Simon also died from the exact causes his wife died of. That's more than coincidental. That's completely bonkers. Two people 5 months apart die of the same symptoms, and you say there's no foul play, there's nothing hinky about it, there's nothing going on, and they close his case really fast, too. Now, here's really where it gets nutty. Neither Brittany nor Simon were given a thorough nor complete forensic autopsy to even check for poisons. I thought that was standard in unusual death cases. But, hey, guess what? It happens here, too. It seems that I think it's Brittany's father has gone on, from what I was reading, to have an open investigation done this. The bodies were exhumed already. They did more testing, found some very high trace elements in here. Basically, it looks like a little of a cover-up and a little bit more is going on. And again, hey, we'll just close the case within an hour. What happened? The LAPD in Los Angeles Coroner was auditioning for CSI or Homicide or what Chicago PD kind of show. They're going, hey, let's see if we can close the case in an hour. I know we got a backlog. Let's make it really nice. Okay, that's what I call a weird little interesting tidbit, if you would. Next up is Apocalypse of the Dead, which is also known as Zone of the Dead. Interpol agents must join forces with dangerous prisoner to fight zombie hordes. Okay, that's the plot. That's the whole plot and nothing but the plot. It comes actually from an interesting team of directors. I think they're from, I want to say Turkey, but I know that's not right. Serbia, maybe? I think that could be it. It's the two directors I'm going to go with here, Milan Torvecchia, did the film, Kill a Mermaid, which many of you remember was leading the charge for 9 months, easily, for the number one read horror review that I did, and has been replaced since then by Power. Anyway, it stars Ken Foray, Christina Kelby, and Emilio Rosso. So that's all I have on that one. Then next up is Buck Wild from 2014. A hunting vacation goes horribly awry for four friends after they accidentally shoot the leased land owner. Whoopsie. Hey, could have been worse. You could have shot your best friend in the face. Oh, wait a minute. That was real life. Okay, let's not talk about that one. The director is Tyler. It stars, actually, these are all brothers, Matthew Phillip and Whit Albrecht, Meg Connie, Mark Leslie Ford, and Drew Lockwood. Next, then, is Germ-Z, or just known as Germ. The military's attempt to shoot down an orbiting satellite unleashes a spaceborne epidemic on a remote small town. Oh, boy. We know what that means, don't we? We know we've probably got some sort of zombie apocalypse kind of thing hitting Earth. That's great. Okay, the directors are J.T. Boone and John Craddock. Stars, Michael Forrest, Mark Chapone, Joey Puccio, and Beth Pratt. Oh, and Marguerite Sundberg. Sorry about that, Marguerite. I accidentally skipped your name. All right, moving along. We have Death from Above. I wish I could tell you what this movie is about. I can't find anything on this movie. You know, here's another thing. You make a movie, you put it up on an Internet Movie Database, why wouldn't you include the plot? I mean, you would want people to watch a movie, right? I mean, that's the whole concept of everything. But, you know what? You know, they didn't do that. So the director's Bruce Cohier. It stars Tom Savini, Robert Zadar, who passed away in March of this year, Mark McCulley, and Kurt Angle. That's all I have for you on this film. Nothing else. Okay, and that brings a close to the 12 movies for that set. And if you give me a moment, I'm going to get a little sip of the Calypso here. Tonight I'm drinking the Southern Peach Lemonade. And let me tell you, it's not that bad. It is actually fantastic. All right. And just for those people who are maybe tuning in from watching The Walking Dead or such, or you're going to tune in later, the Baron's Crypt special edition that we do here on Sunday nights does not have a horror icon, no death notices, no news, nothing like that. It's all about movies. So if that's what you want to discuss with me, that's okay. We can discuss movies that are being released, that have been released. And if there's one that I haven't talked about, and maybe I'll be doing it in a couple weeks, let me know via Twitter. You can send me an email or whatever, and I'm fine with that. All right, the next one is After Dark Horror Fest, 8 Films to Die For. It obviously comes from After Dark. The After Dark Horror Fest returns with several years off to the present, with 8 new films. And let's go through them, because I went through them already. First film is called Bastard. I am kind of just saying that. I was thinking calling somebody that, but no, it's the name of the title there. Directors is Pal Robertson and Patrick Robert Young. Starring, let's see, Tonya Kaye, Ryan Shoes, Fitzgerald, Rebecca Kennedy, Burke Kyver, Emily Lopato, Scott Vance, Will Tranfoe, and Ellis Gere. Well, what's the plot? Well, the plot is 5 strangers, newly wed serial killers, a suicidal cop, and 2 runaways become the suspect and victim when a mass murder makes its presence known in the isolated mountain town. Okay, kind of interesting. Okay, next up is Lumberjack Man. Director is Josh Baer. Starring Michael Madsen, Hector, I have no clue. Bicarci, I don't know, B-E-C-E-R-R-A. Jasmine Carina, Adam Sessler, Carla Flynn, I think it is, Zach Guerrero, Chase Joyette, Jarrett King, Ray Crawford, and there's one more, and we're probably all looking at each other around the room going, anybody got a clue? All right, guess not. How about I go with it? Alex Dobrenko. If I got it right, yay. If I didn't, oh well. As the staff of Good Friends Church Camp prepares for spring break filled with fun under the sun, a demon lager rises from his sap boiler to wreak his vengeance and feast on the flapjack soaked in the blood of his victims. Okay, well, let's talk about that for a moment. Sounds interestingly kooky. Maybe a bit bloody, gory, gruesome, cannibalistic, and I think it's just a perfect film for people to watch before they go to church. Maybe I'm going too far there, but I enjoy that. Just myself. I like the cannibal films right before you go to church, or maybe after church, depending on how you look at it. Next up is Murder in the Dark. Why can't you have Murder in the Light? It's always in the dark. Why is that? Anyway, the director is Dagan Merrill. It stars Luke Arnold, Phil Austin, Yane Bean, Sam Rat. Wow. Sam Rat's got a real long last name here. Korakar Barty. I took a shot. Karen Doe, Simon Tang, Mary Kate Wells, just to name a few. It's got a really long list of people in it. The plot, this is experimental backwoods film shot with a largely improvised script. Friends on a camping trip play a game that takes a deadly turn. So we got kind of like the slasher thing here. We got friends on a camping trip. Well, that tells you a lot right there. Next up is Re-Kill. Okay. Director is Valerie Miliev. It's M-I-L-E-V. It stars Bruce Payne, Mark Adams, Scott Adkins, Lakey Anderson, Rob Bolton, Stephanie Cab, and Ian Casbury. I hope I got everybody. Oh, and Daniela Asanzo. The plot, in the midst of the zombie apocalypse, this found footage was taken by a journalist embedded with a military division tasked with finding and destroying, in quotes, re-killing the undead once and for all. Okay, I have a few issues with that. First of all, it's a found footage film. Who found it during the zombie apocalypse? And during the zombie apocalypse, you really have time to sit around and watch a movie about what's going on? I mean, I don't know about you. Let's see. The zombies are outside. They're trying to break down the door. And everybody says, hey, everybody, get the popcorn ready. We're going to watch a movie about why this is all happening. Because we found the movie somewhere. And we're going to watch it now. Okay. Interesting. Next up, though, is Suspension. The director is Jeffrey Scott Lando. Stars, let's see here, Connor Fielding, Shitton, no, it can't be that. I really screwed that name up, didn't I? No. Clinton, Crane, Rustin Grisback, Craig March, we also have Chris Noland, who else? Wow, we've got a long list of people in this one. Courtney Page Theorox, we'll cut off there. Anyway, who else do we have? Oh, and Kaylee Bush. I should mention her, too. Sage Brocklinbank. Just trying to make sure I get everybody's name here. Ellen McVean. Okay, the plot. A high school student and her friends are targeted by her recently escaped serial killer father. Okay. Now, we've got a little of an after-school massacre special here, it looks like. So her father escapes from prison, I suppose, and has decided to target her and her friends. Interesting. Daddy ain't too happy. Well, I guess father knows best, though, right? So maybe father knows best to kill everybody he can. No reason to question father. Well, check it out if you want to. You know, sounds like an interesting movie. Then we have The Unnatural. The director is Hank Braxton. It stars Cheryl Finn. Yes, that's Cheryl Finn. And let's see here. We got Ivana Korab, Graham Greene, Ray Wise, Stephanie Hobbs, Gregory Cruz, Luke Martino Roberts, Ron Carlson, just to name a few people. If I missed somebody in that, I do apologize. So, you know, sorry about that. And the plot. A mutant polar bear, the result of a genetic experimentation, escapes into the Alaskan wilderness and menaces the local population. Sounds interesting. A little like, what is that one? We've got something like Grizzly Meeting, I don't know. Prophecy, not the one with Christopher Walken, the other one. Something like that, maybe. You know, I like creature feature flicks, so I would even give it a shot. Next, then, is The Wicked Within from director Jay Almino, starring Selena Guerrero, Eric Roberts, Enzo Calenti, Michelle Hicks, Patrick Muldoon, Heath Freeman, Karen Austin, and William McNamara. See here, the plot. Following the death of a child in the family, a woman's increasing ominous behavior begins to make her relatives suspect she's possessed by a demon. It happens. Every family's probably got a demon or two in it. I'm considered the demon of multiple families, but then again, I'm a very unique person, and I don't mind it. It's okay with me. Okay. Last film from the After Dark people is called Windwalkers. No, not the short film that starred Nicolas Cage in it. Wrong film. This one is by director Russell Friedenberg, and it stars Glenn Powell, Zane Holtz, Rudy Youngblood, Johnny Sequoia, J. Pierre LaRose, again, look at that, Keoya Jordan, Phil Burke, and Heather Ray. And there's a few others in there, but the list goes on and on, and I really don't get bogged down in every part of it. The plot. With one of their own missing, a group of friends travel to a remote Florida Everglades, where they discover that an ancient Manila curse is tracking them. So, once again, we have the friends going off to someplace remote looking for someone who's gone missing. Now, look, you go missing in the Everglades, there's a chance you've been eaten by something else that ain't human and didn't care what your problem was. So, it's more interesting of a film. I would recommend that if you check it out. So what you want to do with that film. Now, let's see here. We've got an hour and 21 to go. Let's get right next to the next movie here, and this one's going to be an interesting one, is Tales of Halloween. It comes from Epic. In this anthology-helmed film with 11 renowned horror directors, a sleepy suburb is terrorized by a range of killers and creatures who emerge on Halloween night. Oh, goody! I like that already. But why do they have to stick around just for one night? Can't they hang around longer? Or maybe they got a visa problem. Okay, well, we'll have to look into it. The directors is a lengthy list. I'm going to try to get them all. So here we go. We got Paul Sollett, John Skip, Ryan Schifrin, Dave Parker, Andrew Cash, Neil Marshall, Lucky McKay, Mike Mendez, Adam Goresh, Axel, it's A-X-E-L-L-E, Caroline, and Daryl Lynn Boseman. Okay? It stars. Now, here's a lengthy list of people for everybody to enjoy. Bobo Stewart. Ben Wolfe, who died actually in February of this year. So you know that his film that he's in was done probably earlier. Barry Boswick, Grace Phillips, and Lynn Shea. We also have, let's see here, Lisa Marie, Carol Gilchrist, Sam Witwer, Pollyann McIntosh, Barbara Crampton. Her first horror film, if you don't recall, was Reanimator in 1985. And most recent, right now, that's in pre-production from director Harrison Smith is Death House. It's scheduled for a 2016 release, obviously, with the pre-production. Let's see here. We have John Savage, who's also an actor, multitask in just about everything you can imagine. He's a producer, composer, or production manager. His first horror film, just for you out there are curious, The Killing Kind in 1973. And he's got a horror film that's in pre-production for 2017 release called Impertus. I think, I may be mistaken on this one, Maria Olson may be part of that film. I think she is. Then we have, I think we've got everybody. If I did miss someone, I do apologize again. You know, the list of people for this film is incredible. You really just got to look into it your own. I mean, there's just so many people. I think Tiffany Schiffersen is here connected to it. Joe Dante is part of this film. Adam Green. Who else? Claire Kramer. You've got, I'm just trying to remember who else is in it. I got little notes written down. There's just a long, long list of people who are attached to this project. A lot of people have been talking about it for quite a while. So I definitely recommend people checking it out. Like I said, there's so many people attached to it. I'm just seeing if they missed anybody. I don't think so. So, you know, again, definitely check out that film. next one up is Two Bedroom, One Bath from Synchronized. Okay, a young couple moves into their perfect home, but when they discover that they will soon become parents, things begin to fall apart. Okay, is that because, I don't know, she's got the devil's child in her womb or something? I mean, it's not nothing to get really, you know, worried about. I mean, come on, you're a young couple, okay, and you're going to be parents, all right, it's a little complex. My advice to the husband is go out and get about a bag of pretzels and, some Jack Daniels and just drink away your sorrows. Oh, well. The director is Stanley Young. It stars Eric Roberts, Michelle Hicks, Dee Wallace, Andrew W. Period Walker, Costas Manador, Shelby Young, Johanna Bush, Jack Donner. By the way, just a note here, it's interesting for him. His first horror film was done in 1962. It was called Hand of Death. I guess maybe you don't want his hand rocking the cradle for this child. Just a thought. Rachel Whitman Groves, Trav. That's literally the guy's name, Trav. T-R-A-V, Trav. Christina Tonry and Ruby Lou Smith. I think that's everybody. If I missed somebody, again, I do apologize. Oh, and Laura Flannery. Okay, there we go. Did miss somebody there. So definitely check it out if you're interested in that particular movie. Okay, Bearing the X. This is from RLJ/Image Entertainment. My new friends, by the way. They had sent me Pay the Ghost. I don't have the information on that film this week, but I am watching the film to review it and have it out for next month for Rogue Cinema. So, Joe Dante, the director of this film for Bearing the X, who, as people know, did The Howling and The Gremlins, directs this horror comedy about a man whose dead ex-girlfriend returns from the grave just as he's starting to date someone new. Wow. Talk about having a really bad time. I mean, look at it. You're dating someone new. You're moving on with your life. You're over the grieving process. And what happens? She comes back from the grave to nag you. Jeez. Now, it depends how she died, is why she's back. I mean, now face it. If you killed her, then I could see you having some sort of problem, some sort of issue. But now, if she killed herself while trying to kill you, it could be a little more of an issue. I look at this film as the true horror comedy. I can almost see it and savor over it. So the writer was Alan Tereza. It stars Ashley Green, Alexandra Daddario, Oliver Cooper, Mark Allen, Erica Bowie, and let's see here, and Dick Miller. That's right. Now, Dick Miller, whose birthday, by the way, is on Christmas Day, along with Sissy Spacek, just for pure reference note, has done 32 horror films. His first horror film was It Conquered the World in 1956. Now, here's where it gets really, really interesting for his entire career. The director was Roger Corman. Now, in fact, he teamed with Roger for about 9 of his first films. I mean, he had Not of This Earth in 57, The Undead in the same year of 57, War of the Satellites in 58. In 59, he does A Bucket of Blood, The Little Shop of Horrors in 60, Premature Burial in 62, The Man with X-Ray Eyes in 63, and then The Terror in 63. Okay, now, after Roger, the next director was with Joe Dante there with the film Piranha. What's he do? He goes on to work with him on 6 more films, which was The Howling in 81. Remember, he was the guy who owned the bookstore, the really creepy bookstore. I've really always wanted to know if that's a real bookstore. I've heard a lot of conjecture. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. I think it is, though. Let's see. Next up, though, was The Twilight Zone, the movie in 83, Gremlins in 84, Gremlins 2 in 1990. He also did an episode of with Joe from Erie, Indiana, episode The Losers in 91. And then lastly there was Trapped Ashes in 2006. The film also goes on to star Archie Hann, Stephanie Cohen, Julia Marchis, and Landry. It's got to be Landry. Okay, so I found that to be an interesting thing, and that's something we do in this particular episode. We really get into the guts of the films and really start pulling them apart, looking inside of certain actors and things. It's just something we can do on the show, and I like to do it, so hence I do it. See here, we got Children of the Night from Artsploitation. This is an Argentinian film. A journalist reporting on a remote home for children suffering from a rare disease discovers that the kids are actually, they're not exactly a leech. They're vampires. Talk about them just sucking the life out of everybody. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Well, the director and writer is Ivan Noel. Now, I'm not really going to try these names because I'm bad enough with some of them, but I'll give it a shot for one or two. Sabrina Ramos and Laurel Vernon. I really don't want to try the other names. I got one person here laughing at me a little bit, pointing to one of the names. All right. Toto Munzo. Maybe I got it right. I don't know. That's as far as I'm going to go down this list. I don't want to try more of these names because they look to get harder. That's about all we know about this film. You can go to artsploitationfilms.com. Also, look that up on Facebook. They even have a Twitter account if you're curious. Next from Sony comes Dead Rising Watchtower. Jesse Metcalf stars in this adaptation of the video game Dead Rising, but a group of survivors of the zombie outbreak who find themselves trapped in a quarantine zone surrounded by the undead. Okay, how interesting. Now, the director is Zach, Limpovsky. It stars Megan O'Rourke, Virginia Madsen, let's see, Rob Riggle, Peter Benson, Julia Benson, Harley Morstein, Gary Jones, Kerry Genzel, Dennis Haysbert, and Reese Alexander. And, I mean, look, the cast goes on and on and on, so there's quite a few people there. If you're interested, please do check it out. There is a Twitter account for this film called The Watch Dead Rising, so definitely check that out if you are so inclined. Now, next up. Now, we had a small mishap with the printer on our page 14 of our script. So, just give me a moment here where I reference our on-screen version, because no one can read this version that's in front of me. I don't know why that happened. So, anyway, we have Dracula Rises from the Grave from Warner Brothers. This is a 1968 film in Britain's legendary Hammer Studios, fourth in its Dracula series. It features the late, great, the legendary, the infamous Christopher Lee in his most famous role as the vampire who awakens from his deathly slumber and has his revenge on his mind. Well, at least he had a single purpose for his entire existence. I want to harm others. You can't blame a guy who's got a single goal and he really, really wants to get it done. Okay. Now, the director was Freddie Francis, who passed away in 2007, actually March 17th, so he died on St. Patrick's Day. The writers were Anthony Hines, who did the screenplay. He died in September of 2013, actually from complications from Parkinson's disease. Produced 37 of the first 50 films released by Hammer Studios. Oh, and of course, the entire characters were based on Bram Stoker, who, let's face it, without him, I don't think vampires would be around. It stars, obviously, Christopher Lee, who passed away on June 7th of this year. He had 99 horror film productions. I always find that to be so sad. 99. Couldn't you squeeze out one more? Just one more? I mean, getting into the, you know, the triple figures mark? Well, the last one was Dark Shadows in 2012, so you'll be aware of that. There's so many films of Christopher Lee that we're going to be watching these for the next 20, 30, 40, and let's face it, if the youth knows about them and should, people keep them informed that they should, then Christopher Lee and the Hammer films will live on forever. All right, we have Rupert Davies, who died in November of 1976, and Veronica Carson. This was the first horror film. By the way, has just been announced to be in another film called A Rectory by director Jonathan Chance. Also starred Barbara Ewig, Barry Andrews, Ewan Hooper, Michael Ripper, who passed away in June of 2000. By the way, just a note for him, his first horror film was X the Unknown in 56, and the last film he did was The Revenge, the last horror film was The Revenge of Billy the Kid in 92, and lastly was Christopher Cunningham. Okay, let's see here. We're at got about an hour and 5 minutes left of this this entire course of movies to discuss. Just one moment while I get another sip here, please. We're going to do one more movie, then play a piece of music. I'm being told there's some people are talking to, I guess, somebody from the hospital. It sounds like that. They're kind of outside. I can hear them mumbling a little bit. So let's talk about the next film. Excuse me. So we have Eaters from Lionsgate. After their friend goes missing, five road-tripping friends must confront a violent biker gang. But after narrowly escaping, their nightmare goes from bad to spine-chilling. Okay, got a couple things to mention about that. The writer-director was Johnny Tabor. It stars Marcella Bowman, Robert Dean, Tristan Parrish Moore, Hannah Reisling, Jack Lutz, Jonathan Hartwanger, Michael Ryan Cunningham. The company that did the production for this and pretty much released the film also and helped with it was Ruthless Pictures, so be aware of that. You can check out the LG Home Entertainment on Twitter. That's for the Lionsgate. And also Lionsgate.com. Now, the Violent Biker Gang. I'm curious to know how many people are in the Violent Biker Gang. The reason I say that is because you remember from Friday the 13th, what was that? Part 2 or 3? I'll let you all figure that one out. There's a biker gang at the barn, and they're not really happy. It seems that someone ran over their motorcycles and, you know, did it with a little yellow VW kind of, bug, I guess it's called. It's a convertible sometimes, but this one's a hardtop. But it lost its front windshield. Wasn't the guy nice to use that nice little chain and smash the window? Well, that's what you have. Need more help in figuring out which part was it? Was it 2 or 3? Well, I'll help you out. This is the part where Jason wore the hockey mask, the first time he puts it on. Do we have any clues? It should be obvious. It is part 3. Thank you for playing today's game. Well. So, again, definitely check it out. You also seem to be connected to a Facebook site called Folklore Film. So that's interesting. I like that. But again, we have some people going missing again, and the 5 road tripping friends are going to go find them. And when you say road tripping, I wonder if we've got some drugs put in here or something. Sounds interesting. It's called Eaters. Maybe someone gets the munchies. All right. I think we have about an hour left in our show. I'm being paged here, so I'm going to play. The track here is called Nim Vind, that's the band. The track is That Girl. Basically, it's a tribute song to pretty much a lot of, if you saw the video online, it's really cool. I do advise you check it out. The girls, the final girls, if you would, from a lot of horror films, so really do check it out. It's got a lot of great clips in it. I definitely recommend it. So we're going to play that, and I'll be back in about 4 minutes. So enjoy.
Inside her eyes, she's queen, but what you don't know is pleasant dream.
You're listening to Baron's Crypt, starring Baron Craze.
All right, so we're back. Do want to just note to you, yes, we played two tracks. First was Nim Vin, and the track was That Girl, and then we played Ghoul Town's Mistress of the Dark. The reason for the second track was I was still on the phone, on the other line, and I couldn't finish up the conversation in 3 minutes and 46 seconds, so I needed a little bit extra. With that being said, this show will probably only be a 90-minute show, just because of the phone call, and it was relating to my friend that we all know here, who's in the hospital. Wasn't the greatest news, wasn't the worst news. So with that, let me continue onward. So next up, the film that we'll discuss is Final Girl. Wow, talk about moving into interesting territory. It is from Sindim, I think is how it's pronounced for the company. It's taken in by a mysterious trainer named William, which is played by Wes Bentley. At the age of five, Veronica, which is played by Abigail Breslin, is raised with the sole goal of finding and killing a group of men who murder blonde women for fun. Now, I've had the pleasure of seeing this movie, and let me tell you, it's deep. You're going to have to focus on the film. Excuse me. Because if you don't, you will not figure the film out. I mean, there's some really bizarre scenes that go on here. I want to say, you know, when I consider it a horror film, no. Dark drama, yes. Thriller, sure. Little artsy, maybe in parts, yes. Horror, we're really stretching it there if you want to go that way. The director is Tyler Shields. And it stars, obviously, Abigail, as I just mentioned, and Wes, and Logan Huffman, Cameron Bright, Alexander Ludwig, Reese Thompson, Frankesa Eastwood, Desiree Zawowski, Sean Tyson, and Brett London. So, again, you can go to a couple sites out there from Nasser Entertainment Group or NasserEntertainment.com and look up Final Girl. Facebook is Nasser-Entertainment-Group, which is a long page number after that, so be aware of that factor. Then we have Gravy from Shout Factory. It's All Hallows Eve and a trio of costume misfits with a very special dietary requirement seizes a Mexican cantina and forced these staff to engage in a late night of gaming, food, and libations. With the only caveat, it's what's on the menu. Uh-huh. Interesting yummy time. I guess there's a few people out there who have gotten the, how should I put this, have got the munchies for that Mexican food. Oh, yes. Now, let's face it. Some of that hot sauce gets you just stirring up right. Yes, you must have it. Hey, just think, the one who's wearing the sombrero may be the one who lives or dies, depending on the game that you're going to play in these kind of horror films. So anyway, the director is James Rodin. Stars, Lila Coe, Molly Ephraim, Sutton Foster, Kate Rogel, Jimmy Simpson, Sarah Silverman, Michael Weston, Ethan Sander, Stephanie E. Period Frame, Dool Hill, Gabriel Luna, Paul Rodriguez, who else is on here? Gabori Sibbe, it's S-I-D-I-B-E. Then we also have Lorraine Bouton. I'm really butchered that one badly. It's the last one is spelled B-L-U-T-E-A-U. Again, you can find them also on Twitter under gravy_film. And, be aware of that. I think it's sounds like a really weird film. And then again, a lot of horror fans out there, let's face it, we like weird, don't we? something we're definitely into, something we enjoy immensely. I think sometimes when it's a little bit more freaky, it gets a little bit more interesting. That's not to say that a lot of low-budget films are always that way, but it does make for a more interesting ride sometimes. Well, next film is called June. It comes from Image. Casper Van Dien plays a foster dad to a 9-year-old girl who turns out to be possessed by a demonic entity. A coming-of-rage story, I like that, about discovering your true self and overcoming your inner demons to find love in a chaotic world. Yes, it's always the way. I mean, just with myself, I have a demon. People know it, they understand it, and guess what? They accept it. I think they accept it maybe because they're going, well, we want to accept it because, gosh, when he does snap, he is going to take out a lot of people, and we just want to be on the good side of the demon because, you know, a little love in the world makes it a happier place, I suppose. Well, the director's L. Pyrrhic Gustavo Cooper, stars Adley Miller, Victoria Pratt, Eddie Jameson, Kennedy Bryce, Lance E. Nichols, Adrian Flowers, who, if you recall, was in the other film we just discussed earlier in the show, Two Bedroom, One Bath. Then we have Juliet B. Van, Rachel William Groves, who again was in Two Bedroom, One Bath. Then we have Cindy Hogan, Ronnie Hooks, Walter Coulson, Elizabeth Foley, and Theodore Grease. Sounds like, you know, a really cool film. Now, just for those who are curious, Aiden Flowers is a young actor, but if he continues with his body of work, I see him, you know, going on for great things. I do hope if, you know, he gets to hear this show, don't get caught up in the scene. So many child actors, and not to say you're just a child, to categorize you in any way, we all know this, they get caught up in the scene, parents get caught up in the scene, and they're just left there. And they get involved in some really bad choices in life. So I hope that he has the child has the guidance and everything else to go forward and they're set in life. My best wishes for that. Cindy Hogan, another good person here to check out, her work too. Anyway, another film here, you know, like I said, take your time to get interested in it. You can look it up on Facebook under June Movie. So that's how you can look for it there. All right, next up is The Exorcism of Molly Harkey. Okay, now this film was released pretty much directly on VOD. Molly Hartley, played by Sarah Lind, who was also in Wolf Cop, is all grown up. But the unholy demon inside her lives on in this all-new, unrated sequel to The Haunting of Molly Hartley from 2008, which was directed by Mickey Lindell. Six years after graduating high school and discovering that a secret pact assigned her soul to the devil, Molly is suspected of murder, confined to a mental hospital where she wreaks supernatural havoc on the staff and patients. Her only hope is an exorcism by a defrocked priest. But of course, why not? Played by Devin Sawa, S-A-W-A, who was also in Final Destination, looking to redeem himself and save Molly's life before her hideous transformation is complete. But, let me tell you now, Satan has other plans. Yes, he's looking at his book on, hey, let's try this one for me to have world domination. I'm hoping, you know. Now, what can I tell you about this movie? We shouldn't have had a sequel. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting ride. If I could tell you anything, watch them together, one and two. Maybe that would help you out on this. The director is Stephen R. Munro. It stars, as I told you, Sarah and Devin, but it also has Gina Holden, Peter McNeil, Diana Littome, Julia Arcos, Tom McLaren, Kristen Harris, John Corr, Ashley Hurt, and Melissa Marie Ellis. So that's who's in that one. And so here, we've got about two left. And like I said, we're going to be ending the show early because of what's occurring around here. Anyway, we have Class of Nukem High 3, The Good, The Bad, and the Subhumanoid. It's from Trauma. You know it. Before it even got it done, you knew it was coming, didn't you? This is a 1994 sequel. Traumaville is under siege from a mutant army. Why wouldn't it be? It's Traumaville. All kinds of sick, mutated little creatures are running around in this kind of storyline. Oh, yes. Come on. Look, so many of us grew up with the Toxic Avenger films, and then we go on to the Class of Nukem High films. And now we're waiting, a lot of us, I think, are pretty much waiting for the return of Nukem High, the return of the Class of Nukem High Volume 2. If you saw Volume 1, that was a gruesome, gross-out, disgusting, twisted, livid, vivid, horrendously funny, incredible, delicious, demented movie that I recommend people watch. I recommend all horror fans watch. It was a gross-out film. It had everything we could want. And it was truly a disgustingly, I don't know, delicious movie. Got me hungry afterwards. Well, anyway, the director of this film was Eric Luzo. The writer, well, you probably knew it, Roy Kaufman, that's right. Stars Brick Bronski, Lisa Starr, John Tolman, Lisa Gay, Bionic 7, which is a porn star. And see here, we also have Elizabeth Young, Albert Baer, Ron Germany, which you know who he is. He's a porn star also. And Lisa Rowan. I want to talk about this one for a moment, though. Talk a little bit about Bionic 7. Why not? The name alone, right? This was her first and only totally straight up, science fiction film with no adult themes overlaid, underlaid, or any other positions that she get herself into. Having stated that, this film, she had done other sci-fi horror theme type of films with a adult plot, or lack of plot, there is. She had done the Rocky Porno video show in 86. I mention this because we're doing the Rocky Horror Show. 40th anniversary has been released. There's a lot of these things happen all around the country. So why not have the Rocky Porno video show from 86? And then we have, from 89, Night of the Living Debbies. And that's what the titles are called. I always find it hilarious to look these things up and how they, you got to give it to them. You really do. The guys or the people who come up with these parody titles that play off of other movies, you know, look, if you're having a bad day or something not going right, swear, look up some of these kind of titles. You don't have to watch the movies. I'm not saying that. But the titles are enough to get you there to go, oh, God, really? So, and of course, Ron Jeremy. I mean, look, the guy's done 1,399 adult films. Once again, see, right there, you got to do one more to make it like an even number. But he has 58 horror film credits, and he's growing. A lot of sites have named him a horror icon. We haven't done it yet on the Baron's Crypt. We probably eventually will because of the B-movie nature that he is. A lot of films, though, believe it or not, a lot of production companies and producers and such don't want him on set. So sometimes to get him on set, you got to put him in a costume or he's got to go under a different name and get on there. I don't know why they do that to him especially, but that's what they do. Otherwise, I was talking to a filmmaker on our Baron's Crib show that's saying that, you know, getting the adult stars, if you would, on the horror film, they're cheaper, and they don't have a problem taking their clothes off on set. It's kind of cool with them. If you really think about it and just taking a step back and thinking about it, you got Tracy Lords. Okay, I mean, she gets into the business underage, and yet nobody ever went to jail over it. It was just kind of weird if you think about it. All the money got taken by who, we don't know. The films vanished, I think, except for one film, because she was above age at that point. But no one went to jail, so it was kind of weird. Followed up, then she makes the move into the horror genre, which is very accepting of her. But it's been a long road for her, from what I understand. And, you know, she's doing better with the films. I mean, I think she's getting better, you know, acting chops with it all. Needless to say, this film is a hilarious kind of thing. You're down the dumps, watch one of Trauma's movies, sit back and just realize the suspension of disbelief already left the room when you picked up the Trauma film. You understand? So you pick up that Trauma movie, you click the button to watch Trauma. The suspension of disbelief has left the entire area. You cannot have it back. It is gone. All right. So let's talk about the last film for the night, and it is Goosebumps. And it's been released by Sony/Columbia. The children's book series comes to life when author R.L. Stein is forced to recapture all his monstrous creations after they're unwittingly released by his new neighbor. Now, first of all little monsters want to get out of the box and out of the books and out of the walls and out of everything else, and they like to explore. Let's just call a two-year-old. No, I don't think they mean that here. But they want to get out. They want to explore. They want to have fun. They want to get into things. They want to see, hey, does the little arms on Bobby come off? Pop, pop. Oh, they do. Look at that. Do they go back on? No, they don't. Oh, well, then you learn not to pop off the arms off of little people again, or, you know, little children, I should say, not little people. But, you know, hey, it could be fun. But that's not this kind of movie. Anyway, the director is Rob Letterman. It stars Jack Black, who basically does the R.L. Stein. He also played with the Sappy and the Invisible Boy voice. Then we have Dylan Minnette, O'Day, Rush, Ryan Lee, Amy Ryan. Wow, you talk about putting names. Ryan Lee and then Amy Ryan. Okay. Julian Bell, Ken Marino, Timothy Simmons, and R.L. Stein makes an appearance in the film, a little cameo if you would. Keith Arthur Bowden and Amanda Ludd. Now, you can look at the film up on Facebook under Goosebumps Movie. Then we have goosebumps-movie.com. And it's also on Twitter. Now let's get into a little bit more of the guts, shall we? The budget for the film was $58 million. Whew! It's already grossed $43.7 million. Okay, so we understand it needs another $15 million to make back its budget. So it's relatively possible. Now, that's the gross here. I don't know if that's gross worldwide or not, and I don't think it is. There's a very good chance this film is probably going to make back its budget. It's only $15 million away. We've got, what, another weekend here of the month of October to go. Good shot that it can probably coop in another large amount. And again, this was the amount for October 23rd, so this is before the weekend haul. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Okay, now, let's talk a little bit about Stein, because I felt this was kind of interesting. He is considered the Stephen King of children's literature and the author of hundreds of horror fiction novels, including books in the series of Fear Street, Goosebumps, Rotten School, Mostly Ghostly, and the Nightmare Room series. Basically, easily over 300 books and probably still counting. He's got a main site. It's a pretty cool site, by the way. I would recommend you check it out. The rlstein.com site. Now, I know you're thinking, okay, what's that mean in money, Baron? Give us a little hit on that. Well, on the Forbes list of the 40 best-paid entertainers of 1996 through 97, Stein placed 36 with the income of $41 million for the fiscal year. $41 million for 1 year. You cannot beat that. I mean, obviously, numbers 1 through 35 did, but Damon, for writing children's horror fiction, this guy's got it all sealed up tight as a drum. Even though, look, I'm an adult by many years now, I still collect the Goosebumps books and the Fear Streets. I mean, going through the series and knowing that these are the books out there, I'm looking for those first editions, believe it or not. I've got many of them. In very good condition, by the way. And it's one of those things where I'm just going, people say, look, man, you're an adult. Why would you have kids' books? Kind of weird. I said, it's not really weird if you think about it. A lot of horror fans grew up on Goosebumps and Fear Street and the Nightmare series, all of these. And, you know, I'm a horror fan. So I collect everything of horror. Every aspect, nuance, everything you can possibly imagine. I mean, just for a pure note here, during the 1990s, George A. Romero, he was hired to adapt the book and series into a single film, and he finished a draft, but it never went anywhere. Tim Burton was at one time attached to direct this film a long time ago, but that pattered out and lost interest in the project. So it's always interesting to know that, gee, the film looks so bright and happy, and Tim Burton could have made it into the most darkest, weirdest thing you could imagine. And who knows, he probably would have had Johnny Depp playing R.L. Stein somewhere. It could have been really weird. So needless to say, yes, this is an interesting film. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. I mean, for myself, for this week, I'm seeing Dracula, 1931 version. And then on the 29th, it is Halloween, the 1978 version. I already got my tickets secure for both shows, so I'm all set to go. Okay, that pretty much wraps up our show for this Sunday. As I said, I always try to allow for 2 hours. We could have discussed a few other films, but like I said, there's a few things going on right now. A couple people probably out there saying, Baron, if you got these personal issues, why go on the air? Here's the reason. It's real simple. I owe it to you, the horror fans. I owe it to the filmmakers for these films being released. It's my way of doing what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? Sit around? I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one. I may play the mad scientist. But that's different. It's a whole other story. The point is, there's not a damn thing I can do to help this person. Nothing. So let me come in the air, spend my time with you, the horror fans out there, giving you what you guys deserve. We're going to play a little music on the way out of here. What we're playing is really simple. We're going to play B-Movie Monsters. The track is called Hollywood Vampires. Basically touches on a lot of the vampires, if you would, of films and such, and you'll have little clips and little sound bites to certain movies, something for you all to enjoy. And I think if we've got the time, we're going to play, well, so we do have the time, a really cool track here. We haven't played it in quite a while. So that one is going to be Jenna Torture's Vampire Lover. We haven't played it in probably, oof, I don't know how long. So we're going to play the two tracks, about 8 minutes long, and then you'll hear our closeout music, Psychopath, and that'll be the show. A couple little tidbits, though. Again, please, if you're in the South Jersey area in Cherry Hill and you can make the drive, go to the Brio restaurant. It's on Haddonfield Road, where the kind of like an old, the Garden State Parkway racetrack was torn down. This place is now there, along with others. Special event going from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a true benefit. Everything that's collected will be handed over to this woman's family and for their special needs child, too. So if you can, please do attend. There'll probably be a GoFundMe site, and when it comes up, I will promote it on this show. This week, Tuesday night, Shreddy Metal Beast Show is the Halloween edition. Wednesday night, it will be the Sinister Death Show, which will also be a Halloween version. That is our Doom, Death, Grindcore, and Black Metal show, for those who don't know. Normally on Thursday nights, but will be on Wednesday night at 11 o'clock. House of Armageddon Ed is not having a show this week. They're getting ready to film the 100 Acres of Hell movie, and that's going to go into production sometime next year, although I think it might be going earlier in November. So let's see what they can do. When that happens, we'll probably have some of the stars of that film on our show, so that'll be really cool. So again, Tuesday night, 11 o'clock, Shreddy Metal Beast, Halloween edition. It's going to be vastly different from last year's. If you recall, last year's, we had only been on the air for about 2.5 months. So this time around, we got a lot more music to play from, so that'll be really interesting. The Sinister Death on Wednesday night at 11 o'clock. It's the first time we're ever doing a Halloween show for that, so that's going to be really interestingly entertaining. Okay, so we're going to close out of here with, again, first playing will be the B-Movie Monsters. The track is Hollywood Vampires. And then we're going to play Jenna Torture's Vampire Lover. I thank everybody for tuning in for the show. We'll be having this show again in November. I'll get you the date when it gets closer. Hope everyone enjoyed. And, look, just remember those who are close to you in life. And, look, don't be an idiot. If you're drunk, just stay wherever the hell you are or call a cab or something. Don't drive drunk. Damn it, it's not that damn hard. All right, enjoy. We're out for tonight.
Set your goodbyes to the light.